Hello, folks. Apologies if you hear the sound of the fan in the background. It's hot in here, and unfortunately, my air conditioner is in the other room, so doesn't always carry into my bedroom, which is where I have this setup. Welcome to Sociology 122 Online. What I'm going to try to do in these brief online lectures is to hit on some things that are not discussed in your textbook. I think it's kind of redundant, especially in an online class, to simply regurgitate exactly word for word what is in your book. You can see your book and read over it, and there are plenty of helps available in your book. If you have not yet read chapter one, my suggestion would be to pause the tape, to read chapter one, to take the test that goes along with chapter one, and then to listen to this lecture, or to at least read chapter one, then listen to the lecture, and then take the test, one or the other. But at least read through chapter one prior to listening to this lecture. I think you would most likely get more out of it. The information for this course is all linked from the online interface, Canvas. You can also go to www.markfoster.org, markfoster.org, for a lot of information, including links to the syllabus. You can also go to my college blog, which is blogs.jccc.edu/mfoster/122, which is also a link both from the syllabus and from Canvas. So I hope you enjoy this class. If this is your first time taking an online class, I hope it'll be a positive experience for you. Just for the sake of information, I was the first person in my division, which is the Division of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences, to teach online classes. I took a brief respite from doing it for the last 10 years and just returned to it this semester. I wanted some time off for doing it just to sort of do some other things, and I decided that now would be a good time to return to it. So this semester I'm teaching 2 online classes and 3 on-campus classes. I have been here at the college for 27 years. 28 years, I think, something like that. In any event, what I will focus on today is something which is not mentioned in your book, and that is the subject of critical realism. Critical realism is the approach that I personally use in teaching sociology. It is one of a number of what are called critical theories. Now, let me explain the difference between a theory and a critical theory. Now, theory is discussed in your book. Theory is defined as scientific explanation. Theory is not an idea. Theory is not a concept. Theory is not a hypothesis. Theory is not a prediction. Theory is explanation. Critical theory is also explanation, but it combines explanation with some type of praxis. Praxis is spelled P-R-A-X-I-S, and it is the root of the word practice. However, in an academic context, praxis has a very specialized definition. That means that it is, praxis refers to the relationship between theory and what you do with it. In other words, what's the point of having theory unless you can actually use it to bring about genuine social transformation? So that's what praxis is. It is taking theory and applying it in a very concrete way to bring about actual social transformation. Critical realism is a theory that was developed by Roy Bhaskar. I hope you've had a chance to at least look through the PDF file, which is linked from the blog page, again, blogs.jccc.edu/mfoster/122 under section 1. And that way you will at least have some kind of background, basically, on what critical realism is. I will get into it in a bit more depth in this brief lecture. Roy Bhaskar was not a sociologist. He was a philosopher. He was a professor of philosophy at the University of London, which is a very prestigious place to be a professor. He died just back in 2014. He died in 2014. So he lived for 70 years because he was born in 1944. He did have some ongoing health problems, and so that contributed to his relatively early death. What Roy was trying to do was to come up with a way of establishing what is referred to as libertarian communism. Now, the word communism is kind of a shocking word, especially it seems here in the United States. Hopefully, it'll be less shocking to you when we're finished talking about this, because the communism that Roy was talking about is not what most people think of as communism. Communism, or libertarian communism more specifically, is not dictatorship. It is what is referred to as communism from below, what existed in the former Soviet Union, what exists right now in Cuba, in Vietnam, and in other places is communism from above, meaning you have a dictator who basically runs the country, runs the economy, and keeps everybody in line. With communism from below, also called socialism from below, the economy, the government, and all the affairs of state begin with the people. So literally, it is power to the people. That is called libertarian communism. It has nothing to do with what Americans call libertarianism. The word libertarianism was used by communists for about 100 years before American conservatives began picking up the term and using it to refer to their own version of liberty. Here's the main difference. To American libertarians, the way to achieve liberty is through capitalism. To libertarian communists, also called libertarian socialists or left libertarians, the way to achieve liberty is through communism or socialism. Now, when I say socialism, I mean real socialism, not the kind of socialism that was associated with Bernie Sanders, which is actually not socialism, even though Bernie Sanders calls it that. It really is what is correctly called social democracy. Okay, so what Roy was basically trying to do is to say, okay, how can we establish a society based on libertarian communism? Libertarian communism means a society where there is no racism, there is no sexism, there is no nationalism, there is no ethnicism, meaning ethnic bigotry, there is no tribalism, there is no ableism, which is the oppression of the disabled, and so on and so forth, meaning all forms of oppression, including capitalism, are done away with. In its place is a society of true liberty where it is the people who run society. It is the people who run the businesses. There are no capitalists. Instead, the workers themselves are the owners of the businesses. And so, critical realism is essentially a theory or a critical theory which is designed to say, how do we get from where we are right now to this condition of libertarian communism? In doing this, Roy went through three different stages. Actually four, but three major ones. We'll go through actually all four of them briefly. The first is called basic critical realism. Basic critical realism begins with the idea that reality has three different layers. The bottom layer is the empirical world. The empirical world is what we can actually observe directly with our senses. Then at the top, you have the real world. The real world is what we cannot observe. Things like the atom, things like gravity, or in sociology, things like social structure. In between the empirical and the real is the actual. The actual refers to the events which are produced by the real. That is what we can observe. So with our senses, we perceive these actual events, and then we extrapolate from that, meaning we attempt to speculate based upon that, on the nature of the real. That's basic critical realism. Another aspect of basic critical realism is something called the transformational model of social activity. The idea is that we don't create society, but we transform it, meaning we are born into a society. We didn't create it. It was here already. But society cannot continue unless we as human beings act to continually keep it alive, to continually transform it. Now let's go on to the second phase of critical realism. That is called dialectical critical realism. Dialectical critical realism is based on the idea of absence. What Roy said is that our world is full of absences, things that we don't have. For example, we don't have world peace. We don't have global stability. We don't have a world free of disease. We don't have a world where everybody can get a free education or where everyone has equal access to health care. So all of those are absences. We don't have a world in which everyone has an equal chance to rise up the social class system. That is also an absence. So Roy said that what we need to do is we need to, what he's called, absent the absence, or absence the absence. Meaning we need to take the absence and eliminate it. Once we do that, we have transformation. That is dialectical critical realism. Third, transcendental dialectical critical realism. Now, this is a kind of odd, unusual phase of critical realism. What Roy said is that one way, not necessarily the only way, but one way of eliminating absences is by becoming involved in some type of spiritual activity. Now, Roy was not specific as to what that spiritual activity should be. He said it could be anything. Roy himself was not a religious person. I would say he was a spiritual person, but he certainly did not follow any regular religion. If he was more influenced by one religion than any other, most likely it was Hinduism, and that's because his father was a Hindu and was born in India, and Roy actually spent some time himself visiting India and became acquainted with a lot of Hindu religion and philosophy while he was there. Finally, the philosophy of meta-reality, which is the final phase of critical realism. Here, Roy said that there is something called meta-reality, which goes beyond reality. And meta-reality has two basic elements to it. One is demi-reality, and one is co-presence. Demi-reality is disunity. Roy said that we live in a world of disunity. We live in a world of oppression. We live in a world of racism, of sexism. We live in a world where not everyone has the same level of equality. And so demi-reality can be thought of as being like in a really, really messed up room. A room where there are lots of problems. Say there are booby traps. Say there are mines. Say there are improvised explosive devices. All sorts of really trap doors. All sorts of dangerous things. So it's really difficult to navigate around this room of demi-reality without getting yourself really hurt or even killed. That's the challenge. The challenge, Roy said, is to get out of this demi-reality of racism, sexism, capitalism, inequality, etc., and then to make it into this higher plane of co-presence. Roy also called co-presence the cosmic envelope. He also called it the ground state, and he also called it non-duality. All those terms refer to essentially the same thing. Co-presence is a state of unity. And again, ideally, again, this sort of goes back to the original point I was making about what critical realism is. The way that we achieve true unity, according to Roy, is through libertarian communism, meaning economic equality, an absence of racism, an absence of sexism, an absence of ageism, oppression of the elderly, an absence of ableism, oppression of the disabled, an absence of tribalism, an absence of ethnicism, and so on and so on and so on. So that basically, in a nutshell, is critical realism. Each Monday, at some point, with the exception actually of next Monday, because next Monday is Labor Day, and so we will delay the posting until the following day after Labor Day. But other than Labor Day, I will post one new lecture on the blog under the appropriate section. Next week it'll be on Tuesday, so next week is an exception. In any event, hope you all have a nice week. If you have any questions, feel free to email me. Best way to email me is through Canvas, okay? So if you want to email me through Canvas. Don't email me through my JCCC. You can if you want, but I see it more quickly if you do it in Canvas. So that's my suggestion, is emailing me in Canvas. Good luck to you, and take care for now.